Sri Uddhava Uvacha. Sri Uddhava said, Twataha, from you, Parabritta, diverted, Dhiyaha, whose minds, Svakritai, done by them, Kamabhi, by the fruitive activities, Prabho, O Supreme Master, Uchcha Avachan, higher and lower, Yata, in which way, Dehan, material bodies, Grinanti, they accept, Visrijanti, they give up, Cha, and Tat, that, Mama, to me, Akhyahi, please explain, Govinda, O Govinda, Durvibhavyam, impossible to understand, Anatmabhi, by those who are not intelligent, Na, not. He, indeed, Etat, about this, Prayasaha, for the most part, Loke, in this world, Vidvamsaha, knowledgeable, Santi, they are, Vanchitaha, who are cheated by material illusion. Sri Uddhava said,
there's nothing behind that. Oh yes, there is.
Very good. Sri Uddhava said, O Supreme Master, the intelligence of those dedicated to fruitive activities is certainly deviated from you. Please explain to me how such persons accept superior and inferior bodies by their materialistic activities and then give up such bodies. O Govinda, this topic is very difficult for foolish persons to understand. Being cheated by illusion in this world, they generally do not become aware of these facts. Purport, no one can be considered intelligent without understanding the science of God, which includes a description of the negative results of those who have forgotten their eternal relationship with Him. There are many so-called wise men in the world, but although considering themselves to be most intelligent, they generally do not surrender to the supreme intelligence of the Lord. Thus they concoct varieties of philosophies according to their positions within the modes of nature. However, one cannot escape the influence of material nature through philosophy generated from that same illusory nature. Liberation is achieved by perfect knowledge coming from the spiritual platform, the kingdom of God, by faithfully hearing from Lord Krishna and his authorized representatives. One can easily achieve liberation and go back home, back to Godhead. Om Agyana Jamirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakchurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mayam Tadatisvapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dinatavinam. This is why we should value the association of the devotees. As mentioned in the purport here, no one can be considered intelligent without understanding the science of God, which includes a description of the negative results of those who have forgotten their eternal relationship with Him. Intelligence. Intelligence is the capacity to discriminate, to differentiate between that which is material and that which is spiritual. The Vedas teach three basic topics: Sambandha, which means relationships, basically. Relationship. What are our relationships? Specifically, who am I? Who is God? What is the nature of the creation? What is the nature of existence? Where are we living? Where are we going, basically? And what should I do to achieve the ultimate goal, which is Abhideya, next stage? Sambandha is to know the relationship. Abhideya means to understand, and within that relationship means understanding, what direction am I traveling in, where am I going, and that's, it's mentioned here, the understanding the science of God, which includes a description of the negative results of those who have forgotten. So, all of this information, the positive and the negative, needs to be understood. And one needs discrimination, one needs intelligence to be able to then choose the correct path. So, Abhideya. One is then taught, the Vedas teach, the relationships, they then teach how to act in such a way so that one can be established in one's real identity, in one's original form. In other words, one understands the nature of the self, the real self. Not the illusory self. As Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the nature of identity is constant. Whereas in the material world, everything is changing around us. This is what Maharaj was mentioning yesterday. We're so absorbed in the objects of the senses, the mind, that we think that's the self. But the problem with that sense of identity is it's always changing. And so therefore, it's not unusual in material existence that we're just confused. Who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? Everything's changing. Nothing is constant. And basically, we find ourselves in a state of confusion. So the Vedas teach us Abhideya, which means here's the process, here's the methodology by which one can come out of illusion and into a proper understanding of oneself. What is it? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we've come in the human form of life, we should inquire how to act. What is the real purpose of existence? And how should I act to achieve that purpose? Or Tamasi Ma Jyoti Gama. come out of ignorance and come out of the dark. Tama means darkness, basically. And any sense of identification with the body is considered to be ignorance, basically. This is the basic premise of ignorance. Tamasima, come out of the darkness. Jyotirgama, come to the light. What's Prabhupada's slogan, if you like, for the Back to Godhead magazine? Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Is that right? Yeah. Godhead is light. So, and then there's the ultimate goal, prayojana. The goal of self-realization, the goal of liberation, the goal of enlightenment, self-enlightenment, is to come to the stage of anandamaya, if you like, bliss. That's the nature. The nature of the soul is satchit ananda. We're actually eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. That's our natural condition at the moment. Our natural identity is covered over like the purity of water absorbed in dirt is just mud. Right? So the pure quality of water is covered by the dirt when the water's fallen into the earth. The natural qualities of water still exist, they're just covered over. So similarly also, we've fallen under the influence, as Maharaj was explaining yesterday. Tatashta Shakti means that we are a marginal potency. We are a superior energy in the material world, but have a tendency to fall down and be covered by the material energy, which is inferior, but still, because it's orchestrated and directed by Krishna, Daivihi Esha Gunamayi, it may be inferior energy, but who's behind it? The superior personality of Godhead. So it has that potency to capture us. And so, you know, intelligence means the, cultivating this ability to be able to discriminate between, you know, being captured and being released from the material energy. So the Abhideya, the process, is the means by which we can get free from this false identification with the material energy and rediscover or uncover our original Satchit Ananda form. That would be nice, wouldn't it? That every step is a, what is it? Every step is a dance, every word is a song, because we're just in Ananda all the time. But at the moment we're all dear Ananda, just, you know, life's tough. Then you die. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go and eat worms. Have you heard that poem? This is a very short poem. One of the few poems that I remember from school. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go and eat worms. This is the influence of the material energy. Powerful. Our natural, irrepressible. You know, Prabhupada talks about how the chanting of Hare Krishna is not an imposition. It's not an imposition. Material existence is an imposition. Spiritual identity is a natural expression of happiness, of understanding, of clarity. So one needs to understand these principles. What is the quality of existence in a liberated stage? What does it look like? How does it feel? How does one act? So Krishna gives that information. In the Bhagavad Gita, for example, the Vedas give us that information. Then how to get there? One needs to fine-tune or hone one's intelligence so that one is able to clearly understand the proper course of action. Now, in this day and age, one can really only find that information from a limited number of sources. And this information basically comes from the devotees, those who are trained, who have the habit, if you like, or have the who are regularly studying the Vedas, who are regularly hearing the message, and who are actually putting that, those instructions or those directions into practice. And then in putting them into practice, getting realization of the process. They're actually experiencing the benefits that come from following the philosophy, if you like, of Krishna consciousness, or the directions, but they actually go out and put it into practice. And then, as a result of their practice, they get realizations. Krishna mentions, matschita matkata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tusyanti cha ramanti cha. The devotees get their taste and their pleasure, their satisfaction, their nourishment from hearing and chanting about these topics. On the opposite side, the materialistic person, in the Bhagavatam, it explains, you know, there's the swan-like personalities and then there's the crow-like personalities. And it describes how the crows like to live in, you know, basically the rubbish dump. And, you know, Prabhupada gives a very graphic description of how the rubbish dump is the discarded, you know, refuse of sense gratification. The remnants of sense gratification are very attractive to the crows. Right? And that rubbish is basically topics of sense gratification, material sense gratification, which materialistic people are very absorbed in. And so, you know, magazines, newspapers, internet, television, you know, the modern media is full of topics of sense gratification. But for the saintly persons, that's just like the rubbish dump. Right? Whereas the devotees like to talk about topics of self-realization, which is likened to the clear waters of a pure, clean, pristine environment, which is attractive to the swans. That's where we get the Paramahamsa, the swan-like personalities. Now, what is the qualification of a swan? Prabhupada gives the example that a swan has the capacity to be able to separate milk from water, even though they're mixed together. So the swan's able to take out the essence. So the devotees are able to take out the essence of something. That's this honing intelligence. And that essence is the essence of all instructions or those instructions which are valid or valuable or are topics which deal with the matter of self-realization. But again, not just theoretical. You know, Prabhupada makes the point. We are not armchair philosophers who just talk about doing something. But we take the philosophy and then we actually go and put it into practice. Or we should be. And then putting into practice, we experience then the benefits of pursuing with the proper discrimination the path of perfection, right? Even though there may be some faults. Krishna mentions, if you check, sudaracharo bhajade mamananyabhag. If we stick to the process of devotional service, maybe some faults. But one who's on the path of perfection, sooner or later, if they stick to it and stick to the association of the devotees, then, you know, the sadhakas, then one will make progress, and one will realize pratyak savagamam damyam susukam katamaviyam. The perfection of religion is realized in one has direct perception of the self. And because we are Satchit Ananda, that means we should, susukam means we should be happy. Then Prabhupada says that the test of Krishna consciousness is whether we're happy or not. Is that right? If we're miserable, forlorn, morose, what does that mean? You know, there was the story of Prabhupada with one of the devotees in South, in Africa, who was, you know, a little bit in Maya. Well, but a little more than a little bit. And Prabhupada said, "Get out of here, I don't want to see your morose face anymore." Words to that effect. So the devotees are attracted to the association of those who are attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then putting that, those instructions, that philosophy, if you like, that practice, the description of the practice, they take it and they apply it in their lives. And then what happens? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buddhijogam tam jainamam upayantite. So Krishna says, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Now, it may come in a form of internal realization, or it may come in a form of instructions from others. That's why we need the association of the devotees, because at least initially our internal inspiration, clouded by material conditioning, may not be the right thing to do. In fact, in most cases, is not the right thing to do. So therefore, you know, the first principle that Rupa Goswami mentions in the 64 items of devotional service, take shelter of a spiritual master. Right? Take shelter of somebody. We have to take shelter of someone, and then we have to actually dedicate our life to serving that person. Or those persons, because the spiritual master manifests in more than one form. And very often it's not the person who initiates us who's that person. It should, ordinarily it should be, but sometimes it's not. But that principle of, you know, dedicating ourselves to service and then following that principle is the means of liberation. It is the way of the Mahajans. Mahajana Vena Gita Sapanta. But, you know, materialistic, as Maharaj was mentioning yesterday, you know, the materialistic people meditate on, you know, actually, I was driving back from the car rental place with Barry, our crash repair guy, friend. Barry's a long, you know, I was thinking, you have relationships in your life, you know, you have relationships with your hairdresser, or you have relationships with your chemist, you know, or we have a relationship with our crash repairer. Because the devotees are always, you know, damaging their cars. But Barry has had a lot of association with the devotees. And he was talking about his friend who's died, and then his another friend's parent was dying. And then he said, what do you reckon, Aniruddha? What's going to happen at the time of death? What do you reckon? Where are we going to go? Are we going to go anywhere? Now, we don't worry about that too much. The devotees don't worry about, are we going to go somewhere? Well, it's obvious we're going to go somewhere. We're always doing something. So we're going to have to go somewhere. But for a lot of people, it's like, do we go anywhere? What happens when you know, there's confusion, a lot of confusion. But the devotees, generally speaking, those who are educated in the path of self-realization, especially they're coming from the, you know, in the Vedic tradition, in our line, if you like, they're not bewildered by these types of questions. You know, what happens when you die? Do you go somewhere? Or is that it? Is it the finish? So generally speaking, the devotees are not bewildered by all of the concocted philosophies that people have. That bewilder them. They're generally not bewildered. In fact, we shouldn't be bewildered. We should be quite clear in our understanding of who we are, what we're doing, how we should act, what our destination is. And we learn how to apply these principles that are given to us in the Vedas, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. We learn that by hearing from the devotees, especially from those persons who we accept as our spiritual masters or spiritual teachers, spiritual guides, if you like, the siksha gurus. The Diksha Guru will automatically be the Siksha Guru because that's his role. In fact, as Prabhupada points out, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the prominent Siksha Guru ordinarily becomes the Diksha Guru. But by faithfully and dedicatedly serving the instructions of the spiritual master, then this process, this reciprocation with Krishna takes place, where Krishna gives us the understanding. We get the understanding from the more advanced devotees, or it's revealed to us. So we get it in, you know, Krishna manifests in the form of the spiritual master, the super soul, manifests externally in the form of the spiritual master to instruct us. We have to take those instructions seriously. He manifests in the form of the scriptures. So we have the basic principles. We understand the principles and the application of those principles by association with the devotees, the spiritual guides, the spiritual masters, if you like. This is how we receive knowledge, this Sambandha. Who am I? Who is God? What is the creation? How am I supposed to behave? You know, what are the relationships between all of these? And how am I supposed to act in order to get free from the ignorance that's currently binding me up in confusion? So that's learnt by the association of the Vaishnavas. So therefore, we should value the association of the devotees, and we should value that service. That service is our life. Because it's, and not only, it's not just something that we do, but it's our access to self-realization. If we disregard it or minimize it, then we're in a dangerous position. Because it means we're cutting ourselves off from that opportunity to basically please Krishna. If we're not serving the devotees nicely, then we're not really serving Krishna. And then, you know, then it, we start to, then we'll become confused, discouraged, unenthusiastic, miserable, unhappy. Right? Ever experienced that? Yeah. I was talking to a devotee yesterday and I was saying, do you know what depression is? Yes. We should recognize it when we're depressed and do something about it. But that's the problem with depression is that, oh, I'm depressed. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nischayat dariyat tat tat karma pravartanat. We actually have to embrace enthusiasm sometimes. So even though it's hard to be enthusiastic, we actually have to, you know, we have to put an effort into it. It's a struggle. Get out of ignorance. But that's the basic instruction of the Vedas. You know, tamasima, come out of ignorance. Jyotigama, come into the light. And that requires effort. You have to put in the effort. We've got the perfect philosophy. We have access to a perfect understanding of everything as it is. That's why Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not any concoction. But so this is hearing, you know, it begins with hearing. What is it? Sravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udoy. Our natural Krishna consciousness will rise up automatically if we begin the process of devotional service. Apply the process of devotional service. It begins with hearing, but then it requires action. Right? We have to do something. And then when we do something, Krishna reciprocates. You know, my early experience as a young devotee was the kitchen cleanup. I've mentioned this before, but you know, the kitchen cleanup used to depress me. Right? You guys don't do it anymore, but we used to have to do the kitchen. You do the kitchen cleanup, Vera?
Yeah.
A couple of times, right?
These guys don't do it.
Oh, I don't know. They get their mates to do it. Flick it over to their mates. There you go, mate. And then there's three or four of them in there. We didn't have that luxury. So, you know, it'd be, oh, no, the kitchen cleanup. Who's been in the kitchen making a big mess, right? Yeah, you knew who it was. You knew who it was. But I learned after a while that actually the kitchen cleanup was a great opportunity to experience spiritual bliss. If you just got rid of, if you could somehow or other throw off the mental platform, somehow or other, throw it off, and then just absorb yourself in getting into it, then after 3 or 4 hours of work, you felt totally blissful.
Huh? Because it was a
charm,
I
don't
know what
to do. That's right. But you can't. That's true. But you also you can't. There's a feeling from surrendering to Krishna that is unsurpassed by any material existence. Yeah, sure, it's over and done with. Actually, the kitchen cleanup reduced me to tears on more than one occasion. Right. I remember the day I first shaved up, and you know, there I was. I was in the kitchen till midnight. Yeah. I must have been really on the mental platform. I suspect I was. Took me that long. You know, at the end of it, I thought, oh, here I am, you know, my hair's gone, everything's gone, my girlfriend's gone, my car's gone, my friends are all gone. It's just me and Krishna. And I was crying. So, but, you know, devotional service actually has that power. If we somehow or other surrender, and that's actually somebody was asking me the other day when I was in Toronto it was here. I was talking to a girl. She was saying, you know, does your yoga practice involve surrender? Sure does. Sure does. But when we surrender, then Krishna reciprocates, is the point. If we're hanging on to things, then, you know, we're not going to get the full reciprocation from Krishna. But when we give it up, when we fully surrender and place ourselves in Krishna's hands, basically, then we're protected, we're looked after. And that's a, you know, that's a principle that's valid at all times, all places. So therefore, utsaham nischaya, you know, some enthusiasm has to be there, some patience, some determination, and you know, application. We have to apply ourselves to the process. We may not be successful one day. That doesn't mean we're defeated. You know, we've got to look at look at things in terms of the long haul. And why the association of the devotees is so important, because in the association of devotees we get to discuss these topics. How to surrender. How to understand who we are. How to act. What's the ultimate goal? How to apply ourselves to the process of devotional service. We don't get that in any other association. One of the reasons why we need to know the negative aspects of materialistic life, to understand the dangers and the pitfalls of that association, and to appreciate the value and the importance of devotional service and in the association of those who are engaged in devotional service, so that we can, you know, achieve this point of mukti. Mukti for us is liberation. For the devotees is devotional service. What is it? Jivera swarup hoy nitya Krishna das. That's our qualification, a servant. If we're not serving Krishna, then we're serving Maya. basically. So we're always serving, one way or another. Serving our senses, serving the mind, serving the tongue, serving the belly. So in the association of devotees, what do we get? We get service. Basically, we get, that's what we get. An opportunity to, and we get association too, for that matter. Now, if we're able to faithfully apply ourselves to this process, this is mentioned here in this, we faithfully apply ourselves to this process by beginning, by the hearing, Shravanadi, Sudhachitta, by hearing, and then Sudhachitta means, our chitta means consciousness. Sudhachitta means our consciousness becomes purified. Then that natural identity, that Satchit Ananda form, our spiritual identity will be naturally uncovered. Gradually. It'll happen gradually. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Mahatmaji.
When you are reading all this description and thinking of Indra Prabhu, he was a perfect example. He was never dependent on anything.
Never what?
Indra?
Never what?
Never bewildered.
Never bewildered.
He knew what is your object, what is your role, what you have to do. And he was so enthusiastic in chanting.
That was his.
I'm so honored to do what you see. He knew exactly how to serve your profile, his mission, and stayed with them.
Yeah, he had his service, and he stuck to it. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
What you spoke about today. And the Karmakanda. So, this Karmakanda section is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita and Vedas. Even without insufficient knowledge, you worship in the form and So, how do you, devotees use this?
The Karmakanda section of the Vedas?
Yes,
how do we use it? As we find it in the Bhagavad Gita? The information as we find it in the Bhagavad Gita?
There is sufficient knowledge. How can you use it to give them Krishna consciousness? Because they are surely better than others.
Well, we don't discourage, Krishna mentions, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but encourage them in acts of devotion. So, the Vanashram Dharma system is designed to gradually elevate people up to the point of human life so that they can then, taking advantage of that facility, then be engaged in devotional service. Right? So we see there are many recommendations in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas to worship the demigods, to do many different things, perform sacrifices, give in charity, many pious activities, which will gradually elevate a person because of sacrifice, right? It'll gradually elevate and purify a person so they can be elevated to at least to the point of human existence and then take advantage of that. It's not absolutely essential though, especially in this day and age. There's no performance of any Karmakandiya or other ritualistic activity, sacrifice or whatever, practically speaking, right? And so consequently, we generally don't follow the circuitous route to come to Krishna consciousness by following neither do we recommend it. We don't criticize it necessarily. But we generally try to connect people straight away to you know, chant Hare Krishna. Right? What does all of our philosophy boil down to in the end? Chant Hare Krishna, right? Basically. Yeah. Not only, obviously, there's a lot more to it, but so we try to direct people. And I was reading the other day, you know, Prabhupada was saying this Varnashram institution is not possible to be implemented in this day and age, therefore we encourage people to take to the direct practice of devotional service. Right? So, but, having said that, mind you, you know, there are principles of Varnashram which are beneficial within a society of devotees, and so we do tend to, or not, we encourage those principles, basic Varnashram principles. But we generally encourage and engage people in the direct practice of devotional service. But we can use some of those principles for ordering and structuring society, right? There are Varnashram elements that we encourage to have a stable community, have a stable environment. So how to apply those principles, that's where the knowledge and understanding of advanced devotees who've had a lot of experience in bringing people to Krishna consciousness, then engaging them, getting them initiated, you know, all of the things like Prabhupada established. He wanted to establish farm communities, he wanted to establish schools, he you know, weddings, family, you know, marriage, the principle of the institution of marriage. All of these things are support, they're not directly bhakti, right? Not direct. Getting married is not necessarily devotional service, right? But it supports devotional service. So where these principles or where these, what do you call them, traditions or rituals, but you'll see that the Goswamis have given us the samskaras, right? So the samskaras in and of themselves are not directly devotional service. Right? But they're supportive of devotional service, and so therefore they're applied. So we can take those principles where in those places where they support devotional service and apply them. But where they don't, then we generally just disregard or discard them. How's that sound?
You were speaking about the enthusiasm in devotional service and giving example. And what if we lose our enthusiasm? Just to enlighten it, I was speaking about example of devotional service.
Mm.
Just being engaged. The only way that I know is just to force yourself just to do it. Is it the only way?
Is it the only way?
Yes. How to encourage yourself?
Well, I guess.
Sometimes you just can't force yourself.
There's good sadhana practice, right? Chanting good rounds, attending the morning program, studying, you know, reading, then your consciousness is in a good state. Generally, we are unenthusiastic about doing things because we're attached to the results, right? But in Krishna consciousness, you know, we're not attached to the results, we're just attached to doing the service. So keeping our consciousness in a healthy condition makes it easier for us to be enthusiastic about things, even though we might not necessarily like to do them.
What if one is too attached to the results?
Then you need to chant Hare Krishna a bit more. You need to associate more with the devotees who are not attached to the results. Need to associate with Prabhupada's instructions. You know, Prabhupada wasn't attached to the result. You can see that. He was attached to the service. One thing struck me seeing 26 Second Avenue was how small a thing the place is. How small it is. Yet out of that place came, you know, our society. So you can see Prabhupada was attached to doing the service, to chanting and preaching, engaging people in devotional service, prasadam distribution, all these very basic things that we do now. And the result came. Results will come because ultimately we're not the doer, Krishna's the doer. So we don't have to worry too much about results. And we have to be prepared for the fact that sometimes results are not good. Because, we're living in a material world. Right? So in a material existence, wherever has everything, you know, been perfect? And you've never had a problem in your life? Right? Everything, it was like just, you know, magic carpet ride. And no problems. Never, ever. But somehow, you know, we get in mire and then we think, oh, I've got problems, nothing's right, not perfect. But there's nothing perfect in material existence ever. Even when things are going good in material life, what are we worried about? This ain't going to last. Going to fall off my bike here sooner or later. Who's going to do it? Right? What happens when you fall in love, you know, oh yeah, she's so beautiful, everything's perfect, but something's going to go wrong. Huh? So for us it's good sadhana, break out of the bad habits, and chant Hare Krishna clearly, with attention, whenever the mind wanders to whatever problem it happens to want to solve, right, and there's a million of them, or just one of them that we keep on going back to, but we just have to keep, you know, the process of surrender in chanting Hare Krishna is to keep hearing the sound of the Maha Mantra. So that it gradually, and by keep on, by bringing our attention back to the sound of the mantra, it dissolves all of the mental, you know, stuff that's going on. Purifies it. That's why it's called the Maha Mantra, because it frees us from the effects of the mind. So, I think for most of us, it's consciousness that's the critical, you know, pure, clear Krishna consciousness overcomes pretty much all obstacles. What happens is we allow those obstacles to get in the way of our application of devotional service. By thinking, you know, that they're bigger than Krishna. This problem is bigger than Krishna, but there's nothing bigger than Krishna, actually, when you think about it. And then, you know, the hard part is, well, then we realize, well, actually, the problem with me is I don't really want to do this. So it's in ourselves. And Krishna reveals the faults. He reveals our faults to ourselves. That's painful. That's why anatta nirvritti can be a very difficult process, because we have to face occasionally the fact that I don't really want to chant Hare Krishna. I actually am envious of Krishna. I want to enjoy like Krishna. I want to be Krishna. I want to be the supreme enjoyer. Now, we can enjoy, but we have to do it in the correct way. That is being enjoyed. So again, that clear, pure Krishna consciousness where everyone meditates on and cultivates and establishes oneself in, you know, the proper mood of service. That'll help us overcome any of the major obstacles that we're experiencing. Not, you know, I'm going to do it and I'm just going to power on through. You know, it's not actually, we're not actually doing anything. But we have to put ourselves in a situation where we can allow Krishna to use us as his tool, if you like. Is that right? You have to study sometimes. That's a relief. I'm glad to hear that. Manage your life in such a way so that you can do both. Have you got a diary? No. You keep it all in your head, right? Dangerous. You know, the to-do list was a major discovery of mine. Back in when I was 26 or 27, I was trying to keep stuff in my head. I might have been older. Maybe when I got to 30, I discovered that the to-do list, that actually, if you write everything down that you're supposed to do and then you schedule it, then life goes easier. So write up a schedule for yourself. Schedule your study time. The next problem that you'll have is you won't want to do it. The next thing I discovered is when I wrote everything down and I ordered everything according to the way that it should be done, then my mind said, forget that. That's too hard. You've got to be here, got to be there, got to do this, got to do that. Huh? That's why we don't like the Brahmachari and the Brahmacharini Ashram, because there's somebody who organises every hour of our day for us. It's like, what? Look what they did. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I've got to be here. Right? And we don't like it. But actually it's you know, we have to balance. We should have a balance. There should be devotional, direct devotional service, but then we also have to, you know, as a student, critical period of our lives, because that can set us up for then our occupation. It's not necessarily devotional service, but it supports devotional service, so it's very important, right? So, you know, as the students will think, yeah, I should surrender to Krishna. I should just give everything up. And I don't have to study. But we do have to study. Unless you want to dedicate your whole life to serving Krishna. Right? You can make that decision. Okay, I don't want to study. I'm really a devotee. And I want to give up, you know, material life, and I just want to focus only on devotional service. You can do that. That's a choice. Mind you, in devotional service, you've still got to basically, you know, be on time, do things, be responsible, still got to, you know, be a functional person. But then if you've decided, okay, well, you know, maybe being a full-time, you know, being a full-time sadhika and a servant in Krishna's temple is not for me. I need to study and get a job and get married. Then you have to practically apply yourself to doing that. So that means then we are devotees. We want to do our direct devotional service. But we also have to do those things that support us. So we have to plan. Right? It's called planning. Now, if you go to any technical bookshop, you'll find at least, I would say, 36 books on time management. Right? And they'll give you all sorts of advice, like how to eat an elephant. Right? You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So anyway, I'll give you all sorts of advice. Break it down into little bits and then, you know, write it down. Anybody know why Korma is so successful in what he does?
Lists.
You know, Korma says you should never be listless. And, you know, the other day on his blog, he apologised to all of his, you know, followers on his blog and said, you know, sorry, I'm not blogging at the moment. And then he had a picture of his computer. And then alongside of it was all these pieces of paper with all these lists on it and all different colours. And so, you know, a consummate organiser, somebody who really organises everything down to the, you know, the nth degree. But, of course, then what he does is very successful because he plans it, you know, very minutely, and then he sticks at it. So that's what you have to do.
Really specific schedule, I mean, there's so many, and everything comes.
Well, I guess one of the things for a devotee is to minimize unexpected things as much as possible. Or manage unexpected things. So unexpected things can be dealt with in this time. Like for me this morning, I've got meetings with devotees, but I know from, you know, 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock, it's going to be chaos. So just let the chaos happen. Right? Deal with the telephone calls and the this and that and the people coming in and going. Because, you know, life, generally speaking, is fairly routine. There's quite a lot of routine in life. And chaos is routine. Right? So you let the chaos happen at chaos time. But otherwise, we, you know, and, you know, I'm an expert at trying to do too much. Right? So better to, you know, try to minimise the amount that you can actually do and be realistic about what you can do. Then leave the rest till tomorrow. So that you've got time for chanting, right? So we've got time to get up early in the morning. We can chant Hare Krishna. We can see the deities. We can take prasadam with the devotees. You know, we have our devotion. Because our life, really, is based on our devotional service. That's where we get life from. That's where we get our enthusiasm and our determination. That's where actually our enthusiasm, determination, and patience comes from our devotional practices. very much. So we have to, you know, you've got to manage those parts of your life. It's interesting, I was talking to, when we were in Toronto, we were visiting a devotee, Mongolati, who joined in Melbourne. Met the devotees in Melbourne. And she basically is doing a lot of what she learned here. And then we were driving to Rathiatra, I think it was, and she said, Prabhu, I remember when you gave a class and you said that we should always be in bed reading a book at 8:30 at night. And I said, gee, that's good advice. I should probably follow it. So, you know, I was inspired by her telling me what I'd already told her, you know, 7 years beforehand. So, you know, get to bed early as much as you can. Get up early and chant Hare Krishna. That's what we should be doing to manage our devotional life. Then the other things will fall into place a lot easier, a lot better. Same with our problems, you know. When our Krishna consciousness is taken care of, then most of the other problems just... What is it? What's that verse in the Bhagavatam? The water, the ocean of material existence. When one takes shelter of Murari. How does that verse go? No, that's not it. Anyway, it's a prayer by Lord Brahma. When we take shelter of Krishna, then the ocean of material existence, which looks insurmountable and impossible to overcome, right? When you're just faced with all of the problems and all of the difficulties of material life, and you look at it all and you think, oh my God, how am I going to get over these problems? Yet when we take shelter of Krishna, Lord Brahma says, then the ocean of material existence shrinks to the amount of water that can fit in the footprint of a calf. Vatsapadam. Vatsapadam, the footprint of a calf. Vipadam, the dangers of material existence. So Krishna, if we put our Krishna consciousness comes first, then, you know, all of the other problems, the chaos, plus, you know, our service, plus our study, that can be managed. But it requires planning. You need to sit down and think about your schedule, probably write it down, right? And then when one of the devotees was asking me yesterday, you know, what happens when something pops up? You know, I get asked to do this, I get asked to do that. We're encouraged to be surrendered, right? But at the same time, we've also got to be practical. Now, Krishna is very merciful in Melbourne. He provides us with unlimited opportunities to do service. This is the spiritual world, after all. Right? But at the same time, we have to be sensible about what we accept. Right? Except if I'm telling you to do something. That's why I say you have to be sensible about what you accept too. So, opportunities for service will pop up, but we have to be careful to make sure that we're not doing too much. Right? So that other things suffer. Everybody's servant is nobody's servant. Right? If you try to serve everybody, they'll be all running you ragged. Here, do this, do that, do the other thing. Blah, blah, blah. So that's why we need to... Generally, we're recommended. You know, our system is, we become a servant of one devotee or one, you know, situation. Maybe if you're really skilled and talented, two or three. If you're super talented, there may be six or seven. Beyond that, you won't be able to manage, pretty much. It's, right? Then, knowing your limitations, apply yourself to what you can do. That's where you need, we need help. That's why we need, that's why generally we take a, we follow the instructions of a particular person who helps us, then guides us, do this, do that, do the other thing. Right? Okay. Gunjarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.